Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Jen McMillan, St. Clairsville. Jen McMillan's going to be joining us after the 8:40 break to talk about Christmas in July, the bike parade in St. Saint. Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5 to get Dimitri live and dangerously local. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can also hear me on the River Talk Radio Network, which is now another radio station. Signal, and that is 94.9 FM. So we have 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. It's the audio path of totality, and it's now also the force multiplier of truth. Yes. Very special guest, West Virginia State Senator Tom Willis. Give me a second. I got a frog in my throat. Good Lord. Sorry about that, folks. West Virginia State Senator Tom Willis from the Eastern Panhandle. We're not going to hold that against him. He is running for the Republican nomination for United States Senate against Shelley Moore Capito, United States Senator. So, State Senator Tom Willis, I got a bone to pick with you. Your fellow Republicans, Shelley Moore Capito, United States Senator, Jim Justice, United States Senator, Congressman Riley Moore, who is the nephew of Shelley Moore, all three of them represent us in D.C., and yet we still, after more than a month, still cannot get a declaration, a disaster declaration, to help the victims here in Ohio County. If you become our United States Senator, what are you going to do different?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Dimitri, my heart really goes out to the whole community up there with the loss of the nine lives and all the damage. You know, it's personal for me. I don't think you know this about me, but I actually was boots on the ground up there in Wheeling in 2004 as a member of the West Virginia National Guard. If you remember back in 2004, you know, the river flooded. It was not at flood stage. It was 9 feet above flood stage, and pretty much all of Wheeling Island was underwater, and so I was part of the West Virginia National Guard response team, and we were up there, you know, distributing clean water, distributing food, clearing debris, clearing mud, clearing the roads, and so, you know, I've actually been a member of, you know, helping the community up there in Wheeling during a flood response as part of my National Guard history, and here's where, you know, I'm going to tell you the reason I brought that up, and I'm going to tell you some of the things we've learned in doing disaster response with the National Guard for 20 something years now. When we have foreign troops come, foreign delegations come, frequently with the National Guard, we work with the foreign military and disaster response, and then foreign civilian populations, their FEMA equivalent. And we'll take them down to Charleston and we'll show them our operations center, and we'll talk about some of the lessons learned. Because we've gotten better as a state at disaster response over the past two or three decades. You know, we've incorporated our lessons learned and we've tried to improve. And one of the things that we always tell the visiting delegations is, you know, you can't create relationships on the fly, especially in the midst of a disaster response. You have to work on those relationships before the disaster comes, and so that's why the West Virginia National Guard, for instance, and when I talk about this, I'm just talking about my personal experience. I'm not speaking for the West Virginia National Guard in any way, because obviously they're not involved in the campaign. Just me speaking personally for my, you know, own personal perspective. But we were intentional about creating relationships with FEMA, creating relationships with, you know, the FBI, with the Department of Highways and Transportation. And so and I think that's one of the things that I'll take to D.C., that lesson learned. So when we have an instance like this, I actually reached out to a friend of mine yesterday at FEMA, you know, part of what I just said, building relationships over time. So I have a close contact in FEMA. And so he's going to go over to the declarations unit today and see, you know, what's the status and can we, you know, get our file kicked to the top, you know, to get some help, you know, for Ohio County there. And so he's going to report back to me, but it's those sorts of proactive measures, I think, that are important for our state. And those are the lessons learned that I'll take, you know, to Washington, D.C. So it's not just a phone call to a stranger asking for help, but it's a conversation with a friend that you've sat down, you know, you've broken bread with, that you know by first name, and you say, hey, you know, West Virginia needs help. Let's move our file to the top of the pile. Those are some of the lessons learned. I'm not privy to the conversations between, our congressional delegation and FEMA. I imagine that they have had some turnover, like most of the state, you know, government agencies. That's not an excuse. But somebody's got to bang down the door and get this help.
All right, Tom, let me ask you this. Did your guy at FEMA tell you why Ohio County is not already at the top of the list? And in fact, why it's even on the list? Why hasn't it been approved already? Did he tell you that?
No, he's looking into it. He wasn't on top of it. He's not in that particular division. It's called the Declarations Unit. So he's gonna find out more information for me and see if we can jar it loose.
All right. Well, okay. Next question. How strong a Trump supporter are you?
Look, I'm a huge Trump supporter. I truly believe that he's God sent for this season. You know, I really believe that if he had not won the 2024 election, you know, the direction of this nation, we may never have recovered. And I know a lot of politicians say that, but we were going so far with this socialist mentality, the big government mentality, the Antifa type thinking. I mean, we were really marching to the Marxist communist playbook, and Trump stopped all that. So I really do believe he's God sent. And I think he's going to go down in history, you know, as one of the greatest presidents of all time. I really do.
All right. State Senator Tom Willis, our live exclusive interview, running against Shelley Moore Capito, United States Senator. How do you feel about Attorney General Pam Bondi?
Well, she's a bulldog, and I think that's why Trump picked her. For that job. I don't know what's going on with these Epstein files. You know, she said she had it on her desk, and now she says it doesn't exist. A lot of people are fired up about that. I don't know if she just misspoke, but she certainly set expectations at a certain level, you know, and then she delivered later at a lower level. And, and people take offense when that happens.
Well, how do you feel about that, though? You're the guy running against Shelley Moore Capito. How does Tom Willis feel about that?
Well, if a file exists, I think it should be made public. Now the question is, you know, does it actually exist? You know, so it sounds like we're getting conflicting stories from internal. You know, if the file exists, I think it should be published. Absolutely.
All right. Now, State Senator Tom Willis. Republicans always talk about when they're out of office. They want to have a balanced budget amendment. They want to balance the budget. They've got to run the government like a business. And then as soon as they get in power, they're just as bad, if not worse, than Democrats. And now with this big, beautiful bill, the deficit increases by several trillion dollars. Do you think that's a good idea or not?
Yeah, so I am a business owner, and unlike my opponent, I actually have to make payroll and run a budget, like you just said. So, as best as I can understand, you know, Trump is looking at growth as the solution to pay off our national debt. I think I'd like to believe that he's taking it seriously. To me, it's an existential crisis because I look at my kids. And the future, and if you divide the national debt across the population, I mean it's some ridiculous figure. Like every single American would owe six figures. So it's something that is important to me. It's something that I'm going to run on. I was the only senator that voted no on the state budget this last session, and it was in protest to the fact that we weren't trying to downsize government more. There were a lot of things I liked in the budget, of course, but I think that we need to take as much tax burden off the taxpayers as possible, and that's especially true at the federal level. I'm a small government guy. I'm a deregulation guy. I'm a non-interventionist foreign policy guy in general, and You know, I want the federal government running as lean and mean as possible across the board, and that's what I'm running on.
All right. President Trump pretty much said the same thing, but now he is selling armaments to NATO, and then NATO is going to supply them to Ukraine. Are you in favor of that?
Well, if it's a sale, then yes, I'm in favor of it. I'm not in favor of just giving them billions of dollars. You know, it's, again, my opponent has voted for that repeatedly, to give them billions of dollars. I think, again, going back to the business background, there's a transaction here. A sale, yeah, we make, you know, our U.S. industry makes a profit off of that, and it supports U.S. jobs. So would I support a sale? Yes. Would I support a loan? As long as there's good collateral, yes, I would support a loan. I think that, you know, you have to take a look at how does it benefit the United States. Now, there is some benefit to weakening Russia and to keeping Russia occupied. You know, Putin is an expansionist. He's in the twilight years of his life, and he's looking at his legacy. And, you know, there's Peter the Great and there's Brezhnev, and Putin, I'm sure, would rather be called Putin the Great than just Putin. And so, you know, we've got to keep a close eye on Russia and keep them in check. But I don't think we don't need to break the U.S. taxpayers' bank to do it.
All right. Do you own a business? By the way, what kind of business do you own?
So I own a couple of businesses, but
what do you sell?
My main businesses are I own a law practice. So I'm a practicing attorney, and we have three offices, and then I have a real estate business as well.
Oh, okay. Do you think that tariffs are good for American businesses when they're placed on foreign producers?
So in general, I'm against tariffs in general. However, they can be a useful negotiating tool to get a trade deal done that's fair to the United States. So if you just say, you know, let's put high tariffs across the board against everybody, that's going to hurt the American consumer. It's going to hurt American business owners. But the problem was, Dimitri, after World War II, the United States really served as the world's piggy bank. And the vast majority of our trade agreements and financial arrangements with other countries had them taking advantage of us for decades. And we were intentionally subsidizing their economies post-World War II. When they needed it, we needed our allies to be strong against the Soviet Union during the Cold War. But we're in a totally different world now. And there's no reason why, you know, Japan or the EU or South Korea should have an advantage over us with charging us higher tariffs than we charge them.
All right.
And so when you use it as a tool, as a leverage tool to get a fair agreement, you know, then it can be a useful tool.
All right. We're virtually out of time, and I always give my guest the last word to speak directly to our listeners on Big Willie 105.5. Throughout the Northern Panhandle, you've got about a minute or so. State Senator Tom Willis, my microphone is yours.
Hey, thanks, Dimitri. I appreciate it. I appreciate you asking right in the beginning, who is Tom Willis? And, you know, I just want to tell you who I am. I told you about my background: Christian family man, Special Forces Green Beret, business owner in West Virginia, and a state senator. But the reason I'm running is we've got some serious issues that are facing our nation. And I don't think everybody always says that every race, but I don't think anybody would debate that, especially amongst the younger generation, this socialism ideology has taken root. We've got a constant wave of immigrants trying to get into the country. We've got assaults on our Second Amendment rights. My opponent, Shelley Moore Capito, has been weak on Second Amendment rights, supporting red flag gun laws. She's been weak across the board on a lot of issues. Heritage Action gives her an F. Freedom Works gives her an F. American Conservative Union gives her a D+. I think West Virginia can do better. I think West Virginia needs a true conservative, and that's why I'm putting my name, Tom Willis, in the hat to win this race. So I'm asking for support, and if folks want to learn more about my policy positions or my background, they can go to TomWillis.com. That's TomWillis.com. So appreciate the time.
Indeed. State Senator Tom Willis, thank you very much for joining us. Whenever you visit the Northern Panhandle, when you're planning to visit, let me know. We'll get you here in studio. We'll give you the whole 2 hours, but we're going to ask you lots and lots and lots of tough questions. But you'll have the whole 2 hours if you want to reach to the Northern Panhandle. just get in touch with me, and my whole show that day will be yours. Fair enough?
That sounds great. I do have plans to come up, so we'll be in touch on that, Dimitri.
Excellent. Thank you so much, sir. You have a great day.
You too. So long now.
West Virginia State Senator Tom Willis, Shelley Moore Capito's worst nightmare, other than me, of course. Coming up next, let's talk about bicycles.